All right. Welcome to the I Love South Orange County podcast. And my name is Josh Viscay. And today we have Sean Gordon from Rancho Santa Margarita.
That's right. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I first like to talk about who we are and what the podcast is about.
Okay.
The podcast is about educating the public. Everybody's living in their own little cocoon tribe. And they need to get out of this Orange County bubble. I have 2 master's degrees in business. I invested $8,000 in a restaurant in Pinellas Park, Florida in 1999. I sold it for $500,000 in 2005. Had my own consulting firm in Southern California since 2011, playing the high inflated prices here. And I think it's very important that we educate the public. I can't say that enough. Everybody's wearing the blinders on, and that's what my 2 master's degrees in business is for. And one of the things we talked about in the podcast is that in this very affluent area in South Orange County, beneath the layers, there's a high level of corruption. And reading posts online, very interesting, very like-minded with Sean, and I've never met him. So this is going to be a raw and honest podcast where we're both going to learn a lot. What do you do for work, Sean?
I have my fingers in lots of pies, but fundamentally, I'm a technology expert, IT consultant. I do software design development, done a lot of work in blockchain and gaming. I founded and ran a record label for 15 years, put out about 130 albums.
Nice.
I was nominated for a Grammy for one of the songs that I did. I made it right to the end. I beat like 600 songs. So,
But that's the Grammys are rigged just as much as the Lake Forest and Santa Margarita City Council.
It's amazing I made it as far as I did, right?
Right. No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what sparked or what triggered you to start? Because this is the other thing, tenets of the podcast, right? That you have to do your own research, right? Yeah. Ronald Reagan said, if you go too far to the right, it's fascism. You go too far to the left, it's communism. And everybody has an agenda and nobody is honest. So you got to do your own research, right? So what triggered you to kind of start investigating all this corruption going on in Rancho Santa Margarita? And let's paint the picture of Rancho Santa Margarita. It is a very, very nice, suburban, white area, I would say. I haven't seen any black people in Rancho Santa Margarita, other than Keyshawn Johnson when his kid was playing.
No, there's 3 black people. No. No, when I moved in, the family behind me and the other family on my street, we're both black, and those were like my best friends in the neighborhood. I was really bummed when they moved. But granted, if you look at the stats for the city, I mean, it's in the ones of percent.
Right. Very low crime. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
Houses are nice. Very clean.
I've been here 21 years.
Oh, wow. You've been here 21 years. And I live in the town next door. I go to Rancho Santa Margarita, go to the Wendy's because there's no Wendy's here.
You're not coming for In-N-Out? Come on. Across the street.
Yeah, well, we got an In-N-Out close to here. But what triggered you to start kind of investigating and kind of seeing that the fish were rotten in Denmark?
Well, I've been very into politics, like, since I was a kid, because when Nixon and McGovern, were running for president, right. Like, my parents, they were conservative. They didn't really make a big deal of it, but my dad's cousin, hardcore Democrat, and is very much for McGovern, and we go over to visit, and they had signs everywhere, and so that got me interested in it when I was young. So I've always been very involved and interested and informed in politics, and I'd always, I'd kind of paid attention in Rancho, not super close. There were topics that would come up, but as an IT guy, I'm brought in to solve problems.
Right.
Because what I'm good at is identifying problems and solutions.
Right.
And so, as I'm walking around and I'm doing my, daily routine, because I work from my house, like, this isn't right. This right. isn't, this isn't, here's a better way to do this. And so I kept finding these better ways that things should get done. So I got involved with politics in town here like 6 years ago. There was a contentious ballot measure, and I kind of ended up on the inside of what was happening quite by accident.
Right.
And actually, maybe that's, no, that's been about 6 years, a little over 6 years. And I don't drink alcohol. And these folks from the city council, you know, they'd be at parties and they would drink and they would talk a little bit too much. you know, but I was against this particular initiative. So I supported
what was the initiative?
This was to re, there was a Nissan car dealer lot here.
Okay.
And it's a long story, but the guy who bought it wanted to turn it into a strip mall. And our city's dependent on auto tax revenue to survive. We are not pulling in enough now. It's another conversation, but we'll be out of money in about 10 years. So he wanted to take the rezoning ability out of the city council hands and put it in his own, which is wrong. He could put strip clubs there, whatever the hell he wanted, had that passed.
Right.
So I was against that. And the folks involved, and I'm going to be careful about names because these were verbal conversations, so it'd be a he said kind of thing. But they knew I was good with computers. They asked me to hack systems like the patch to find out the names and email addresses of the people who were saying bad things about them. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'll help fight this out in public, but I'm not going to get nasty like that. So 3 years ago, it was right after my dad passed, and my dad had been telling me for years that I should run for office because of how involved I was.
Right.
And so my dad passed, and the election came up. There was two seats. Two of the incumbents were running again. They've been there since the city was founded, and nobody else was running. I'm like, well, this seems like God telling me I should run.
Right.
So I ran, and as I ran, I had a ton of whistleblowers come to me, and I started finding out more and more details about things that weren't physically proximate to me, so they hadn't really affected my day-to-day life. And, you know, so I'm looking at these things, and from my perspective, I want things to be done right. I want them to be done ethically. There's no big money to run for city council here. It pays like $500 a month. So this was all because I wanted to do the right thing. And because I had the temerity to run against these people who I had been friends with, suddenly I was the enemy.
Right. They turned against you.
Yeah. So I start getting city agencies called out to my house and, you know, just, you know, fake Facebook profiles attacking me constantly. And just recently, because I've been digging into this so much, somebody, and two of the people on our city council are lawyers, somebody dug into my court records to pull up my divorce information and post that on our Rancho Facebook group and make it try to sound salacious, right? They don't use details. They just infer salacious language. And they did that with one of their fake profiles. And this is par for the course, but that was why I went to the city council last night and kind of chewed everybody out.
That's very interesting because I've had the same experience. And I think those fake profiles are PR people, which you in the music industry probably familiar with these types.
Yeah.
A little background, we got a guy, and you can help explain part of this. We got a Lincoln Club guy recalled for being corrupt and taking pay off from developers by the name of Andrew Hamilton.
Yeah, and wasn't he running around using a fake profile?
Exactly. And he was on the poach, the patches, James Ross.
Yeah.
And what happened is, there's a couple things that happened. They go on, well, the head of this is Fred Whitaker, right? He's the head of the Orange County
GOP, and he's worthless. GOP.
Right. Yeah. He loses every election, but he takes, like, Mimi Walters was running. Katie Porter had $3 million. She had 2.7. He takes $1 million and gives it to Don Wagner so he can win Mayor Irvine. And then 2 months later, he's OC supervisor. But, and we'll get into it down the road on the podcast about the money laundering that's going on. But we want to explain to the audience especially the people that live here in South Orange County, that you can just pick up the names, go and Google and do your own research. This is our experience. So what happened is we got 19,000 signatures.
Damn.
And we ended up barely passing because there's so much corruption going on with Neil Kelly. I think it's in on it.
19,000. I mean, you probably only needed like six to qualify.
No, we needed around 10.
Wow.
But we know we needed to go over because of the level of corruption that's been here in South Orange County. You can go back to Mickey Cohen, famous mobster in Orange County, to Mike Corona, who was a sheriff who got multiple felonies. And then you had the last OC sheriff who had the snitch scandal. So what they did to me was what they've done to many other people, especially, how do you say his last name, Bill Bro?
Yeah.
All right. So what they did to me is they fictitiously in the OC voice and in the Orange County Register, the Orange County Register did better journalism. They actually talked to me so I could give my side of the story. Santana, who's also paid off, did not. And then more evidence of him being paid off.
Yeah.
And it's a complete lie saying that I was a convicted forger and a felon, right? Because I am Hispanic. And even though I'm a very conservative and for my financial services license have to do no party preference. But even though at that time I was a registered Republican. So it's a Republican on Republican crime, which seems like it's going on with you. So they lied about me being a convicted forger and that somehow I forged thousands of signatures to get this guy recalled. Right? So I ended up winning an arbitration hearing, and I got to go further with it. So to link to your hacking story, and I have it, and I'll post it online, the Orange County Sheriff lied to a judge to get a search warrant. So they went in and they hacked all my emails. They got the IMEI of my phone. They got all my text messages. Good thing, my father, right? My father's been a minister for 50 years. Wow. And in my restaurant, the one that I sold for $500,000, I would have gotten a liquor license, but the mob did not let me, all right, for number one. Number two, if I did have a liquor license, my parents would have come in and probably set the restaurant on fire. I never served alcohol, and I don't drink alcohol. I never served alcohol in my restaurant. So I'm the most boring penny ante, and since security's license, you know, I have FINRA on my back. You have to be extremely honest, and you got to take your fiduciary responsibility serious. So they didn't find anything other than, you know, my sending emails to my nephew about the best Disney movies he should watch. So I don't mind. You can look at myself all day. But it's crazy, all right? And all we're trying to do is participate in the democratic process, it seems like. And it seems like you've had the same experience.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened was is aerospace went out of Southern California.
Right.
And all the companies that were associated with the lobbying for those companies, they became essentially political consultants.
Got it.
But the Orange County Business Council and Lucy Dunn and Kurt Pringle, when he was mayor of Anaheim, they were full bore behind the high-speed rail. And Kurt Pringle jumped the gun and built that boondoggle of the Arctic station and rerouted the train so it didn't go to the stadium anymore. Now it's got to go to Arctic, and then you got to take a shuttle bus over to the stadium. So they're very into this idea of mobility. And you can see videos. 10 years ago, Lucy Dunn from OCBC talking to the supervisors like she's some sort of elected official, how they have an initiative that will end homelessness in 10 years.
Oh, God.
10 years later, whatever money they spent, they didn't do a damn thing. I don't know that they even started doing it.
All right. So, a very interesting history on that.
Yeah, so all that money now, basically the corruption is centered at the TCA.
Got it.
And the satellite.
So can you explain to the audience what the TCA is?
So the TCA is the Transportation Corridor Agency. That is the toll road.
Got it.
And They were set up through a Joint Powers Authority Act to basically privately build the toll roads and pay off the bond and go away. Now, they make money by charging tolls, but where they really make money is these developer fees on new houses and new businesses, which is about $6,000 per unit. It varies a bit depending on the site. But, for example, if they connect Las Patronas with the 241 over by Tesoro High School right now, they stand to pull $100 million in developer fees from Rancho Mission Viejo. So the TCA is at the center of all this. They want to expand through the whole state, and they want to go out of the state too. But they were supposed to have a limited lifetime. The 73 toll road over there by Newport, that was supposed to be free 3 years ago. But they've mismanaged their money so badly. They've missed every projection for ridership and revenue that they've ever set. They've been demoted to junk bond status twice.
Jesus.
And what they keep doing is they keep refinancing the toll roads.
There we go.
That is financially responsible because the interest rates are down. But consider it like your house. You got a 30-year loan. Say you've got 5 years left, but you're paying 6% interest. And the interest rate now is 3%. Does it make sense to refinance your house and add 25 years to that so you can save a few percent interest? Because ultimately you will pay more money. And that's what they do. They keep refinancing it.
Yeah, but people are getting – all right, so – I'm getting close to 50, right? Been in business all these years, and I like you, I like following city councils. I follow city councils everywhere I've been, in Tampa, which is mob run, New Orleans, Austin, all these places I've been in back here 12 years. I mean, that's when I lived in San Diego. The San Diego mayors, like the last six of them, have all ended up either in jail or some sort of malfeasance. But what triggers me is, and when I look at the TCA meeting, just looking at the people in the body language, there has to be kickbacks going on. And it's an elaborate, because when you say TCA, right, I think of Scott Voits, right, who's on the Lake Forest City Council, who's worked with Don Wagner for 20 years. And all of these people get campaign contributions from the Lincoln Club. Now, can you explain what the Lincoln Club is? And I can give you what I sort of think it is.
Well, they're
a nonprofit, right?
Yeah.
And they get campaign contributions from the Republican National Committee and from Republicans. It's a political nonprofit, but it seems to be a networking, business networking, because people who pay the $7,000 to belong to the Lincoln Club, right, seen to get city council seats in South Orange County.
And you're exactly right. They tend to keep a lower profile than some of the others. So your players are, the TCA is sort of the network hub of this.
So, yeah, and Scott Voits, all right, not to cut you off, but just to, so the audience has a picture of this. On the TCA, the people on the board are South County representatives, right? So you have Don Wagner. I don't think this is even legal, right? But you have big conflict of interest. You have Don Wagner on the TCA, who replaced Todd Spitzer, all members of the Lincoln Club. Scott Voits, who's worked for Don Wagner for 20 years, right? Scott Voits is not in the Lincoln Club because he can't afford it. He's cheap, but he's a lapdog for these people. You have Christina Shea, the corrupt mayor of Irvine. Don Wagner used to be the mayor of Irvine. For example, she has a consultant agreement with Kia, and Kia gets whatever they want with the city council, and they should put Haddad, the CEO of Five Points, he should have a seat on the city council, because he sent out a letter on Five Points' letterhead and the city of Irvine's letterhead, signed by Christina Shea and him, to screw people over on the veteran cemetery. That's another story. But these are all the people that are on the TCA, and you can give us more insight because you know more. There's so much corruption, so little time. You have more insight on all the dinners that they're having on taxpayer money and all the consultants that you were talking about. who are also involved with the TCA.
Yeah, you know, this is such a huge topic. It's such a spider web, and you start to sound like a tinfoil hat wearing, you know, conspiracy theorist. Right. So you got TCA, you got OCBC,
right.
You got South Orange County Economic Coalition, you got the Lincoln Club.
Right.
And when you look at the checks, you'll see $5,000 going from the TCA to the Economic Coalition for a golf thing. And
right.
Then you'll see $5,000 going from this to that for a dinner. And then you see $30,000 going from one to another. And then you see campaign contributions going from one to another. And it looks like classic money laundering.
Right.
To be clear, I am not directly accusing anybody of financial malfeasance. I do not have any direct information about it. But it is really weird how hard these people fight to keep this going. And Supervisor Bartlett, for example,
okay.
unopposed, ran up about $45,000 tab with consultant Jeff Corliss. Well, shortly thereafter, Jeff Corliss made a bid for whatever it is, their PR arm for the TCA. She put it forward. She approved it. She owed him money.
Right.
Everybody else was bidding at like $1.2 million. He came in at, I think it was $500,000. So they gave it to him because it was a low bid. Guess what his bill was the second year? $1.8 million.
Jesus.
So, and you know, and he's not really even doing anything. And it appears her debt with Jeff Corliss went away.
Jesus.
So that's a little bit of a problem. Our city council rep, Tony Beal, has been on there forever. Now, his day job is with a law firm called Troutman. Troutman does real estate law. And they are involved with toll road agencies across the country.
Mm.
Just that alone, Tony Beal should never sit on the board.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah. Now, a few months ago, and I've got the video on this on my Facebook page, after all of the exposure in the LA Times article about the financial malfeasance,
right.
paid $180 an hour to read the news, you know, people billing 27 hours in a day.
Jesus.
So San Clemente came and they wanted everything frozen until, you know, stop all the consultants working, freeze their contracts, no more work until an outside audit could do a forensic on this thing. And Tony Beal argued vociferously against it. In addition, he even
said...
What
was his reasoning?
That's a good point. What Tony does, I mean, he's a lawyer, but Tony's style is to gaslight and to deflect, right? So he doesn't right. answer things. He goes on the attack. And so with this, he literally said, you know, when I helped you get elected in San Clemente, you had indicated you were going to be supportive of the TCA. What the hell is our city councilman doing involved in San Clemente's elections?
Right.
Doing it again now for the special election because their mayor died.
And one of the things about education is that you become suspicious when somebody gives an overlied generalized statement like that without any specifics.
Yeah.
And then, you know, make it clear, we're not accusing anybody of anything, but just talking to Sean, him and I have maybe 45 years together in private business, right?
Right.
We get paid for the value we provide people. It just, in our experience, does not pass the smell or the eye test.
Right. Now, let's make it even more complex with Bill, or Tony. His wife, Jennifer Beal, got Bill Bro elected.
Right.
And served as his campaign manager for years.
Right.
Bill Bro put forward a bill earlier this year to freeze the TCA to their original intent, pay off the bonds, and go away.
Right.
Jennifer quit her $80,000 or so a year job over the fact that Bill wanted oversight on the TCA.
All right, so let me stop you there, right? Let me stop you there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive to live here. Nobody gives up a job unless they have some other money in the background, right?
Yeah.
All right.
You would think. So she had hired her friend, Ann Figueroa, who she was instrumental in getting on to the Rancho Chamber or City Council last year. She had hired her as well in the office, and she made Ann quit too over it. So
crazy.
You know, it's like, I'm not going to say something.
But now, the thing about Bill Bra is, right? Uh-huh. People can research these names. A guy by the name, political consultant, who has a very, very well-defined political strategy. He does the same thing every time. So they did to Bro the same thing they did to me. They came up, what in my opinion, is a false accusation of sexual harassment after he asked for an audit for all these people who, in our opinion, look corrupt and they're money laundering and there should be an FBI investigation. So after he asked for the audit, to me, it was sort of like a confession where they get Lisa Bartlett, who you mentioned.
Yeah.
And Lisa Bartlett is not the most attractive, you know, people can listen to the podcast we did on women's rights and how women get approached and how you should respect women. So I'm just saying that she's not the most attractive woman in the world, and I'm not objectifying women. I'm just, as a citizen reporter, kind of painting the picture.
Well, have you seen Bill's wife? She's beautiful.
Right.
So, well, let me clarify it a little bit. Okay, so Lisa and Bill were on Dana Point City Council together.
Got it.
That's kind of where they came from. So in 2011, she did file this complaint at the time, and it was found to be without merit.
She did it with a city attorney. What people don't understand in South Orange County is that, and this has been explained to me, that the city attorney is like the defense attorney for the city. They're not a prosecutor. So what they do is they defend the city at all costs. They're not pragmatic at all. So in her case, what she should have done is go to the OC sheriff's and then filed a civil lawsuit. And then yes, paint the picture as well. On the TCA board, right, you have Scott Voights, who's on the Lake Forest City Council. He's worked with Don Wagner, who's a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Works for BBK. And BBK is the same law firm as the city of Bell. Okay? Yeah. And both these guys – oh, and guess who's the city attorney for Lake Forest, right? BBK and Don Wagner is on it on the same – TCA Council with Scott Voights, his employee.
Gee, no problems there.
Okay, so Lisa Bartlett, 2011, she files a misguided complaint with a city attorney.
Yeah, and it gets thrown out for lack of supporting, you know, evidence. Now, I have seen her tell the story at least three different ways at this point.
Oh, okay.
Even if the allegation is true, and I'm not taking a position on it, what she said was they were at an event at a restaurant, like I think it was a city event or city staff event. And he, at the end of the evening, he came up and put his hand on her shoulder and said, "Hey, you want to get a drink?" She declined and he left.
Okay.
I mean, and she claims that she is haunted by the encounter to this day.
Okay. Does she have any psychiatrist bills? Did she go to therapy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they keep bringing – so everybody knew this because she reported it at the time.
Right.
Jennifer Beal tried to act, now she knew about it the whole time. Ed Sachs tried to use it against him in the last election in 2018. And, you know, there was no traction for it. It wasn't until Jennifer and the whole TCA thing happened. So now she's been trying to get some hay out of it.
But when did this first come out? It came out
in 2011.
Recently it was orchestrated by Fred Whitaker at the Republican Central Committee meeting.
Yeah. So the reason it suddenly got brought up now, and here's the thing, like
after the audit.
Yeah, Beals don't like Bartlett, and this is what they told me. And just before the meeting where Lisa announced this, and again, this is secondhand. I had people that were there. They said they saw the Beals talking to Lisa. Then suddenly Lisa came out and said this. And I think what happened is you know, this existed, so it was convenient to use because it was out there. It was years old. People knew it. And because it's like, oh, okay, here's some ammo we can try to go against him. And there's supposedly a few other allegations. But, it, you know, if Bill assaulted somebody, then yes, he should go. But at this point, nobody has come up with anything credible. The two allegations that were investigated were both thrown out. And there was a somebody trying to get a woman to make allegations. She's like, no, it wasn't any big deal.
Right.
So when you see, like, this guy Aaron Parks, the blogger who's trying to spread this stuff, when you see his post, it's all hyperbole. It's all inference. There's no links to supporting data. There's no names. You know, it's like, at least link back to the investigation at the Dana Point if you're going to have a credible story.
Yeah. Now, with me, when I was processing it, I remember 30 year of my restaurant, I had it for 6 years, this independently Southern guy came in there, good old boy, and he's like, you know something, Josh? You'll know when you're successful when you get sued. So, and about 3 months later, since my family was very religious, my mom was like, all homeless people give them food. So the one of the head homeless guys was like, you can't eat food at this guy's restaurant before you pass out flyers. So this drunk homeless guy falls on his bike, breaks his leg at the in front of the Domino's Pizza next week. And of course he sued me. So I was sued several times at the restaurant, won every case. So when this whole thing with Bill came up, I'm like, there was never a civil lawsuit. And then the other thing is, as a consultant, some of my high net worth, I hate that term, I hate that cliche, but some of my, you know, people with a bunch of money bring me on to help with a case, the first thing you do is you investigate. You do your research. Even says in the Bible, know thy enemy.
Yeah.
When you're investigating things, you got to have direct evidence, right?
Right.
And you have to have corroboration. So none of these people had any witnesses that came up like Bill Cosby or the, you know, Epstein thing, where you had what happened, but then you had corroboration. You had two people who don't know each other saying the same story.
Exactly.
And you did not have this in with the Bill. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Bill Bro.
Yeah. Like, hey, bro, how you doing? And I mean, the one other story that I heard the details of, you know, it was a woman that's, I don't know, like 15 years older than him. And she claimed he put his hand on her leg and said, hey, you want to come? I've got a hotel room. You want to come to my hotel room? Something like that. And she declined and he left. So if he did that, and we don't know that he did, that's essentially boorish behavior. And that's between him and his wife. You know, it's not behavior that I condone, but that's hardly sexual assault.
Right. And it's a very touchy subject. And my wife's a psychotherapist. And I've just, society's changed a lot for me, really, in the last 10 or 15 years with what's going on with the Me Too movement. You got a good podcast on that. And there's some women who come up to you and they give you a big hug and they're touchy-feely. But I've come to understand now that if some woman was sexually abused, she's a victim of Epstein.
Yeah.
It's very traumatic if you put your hands on
it. Yeah.
So that's the way I am and now in public, and I understand. But going through high school or whatever, you would go next to a girl and you would push her and she would push you back. You know what I mean? And it was no big deal. But nowadays, you could find yourself in a big, you know, Bill Bro situation just asking a woman out, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, going back about 20 years, I was consulting for a big insurance company. We were doing Y2K. And so I had like 20 guys working for me. We're all contractors. And I'm in the lunchroom, and one of the guys from my group, he's in there, and there's a gal that was an employee. And he's like, oh, it's a beautiful day out. You want to go to lunch? He asked her to lunch. Next thing I know, I've got HR telling me I've got to fire him. And she filed a sexual harassment claim. If I hadn't have been in the room and saw what actually happened, you know, I would have had to fire him. He's one of my main guys, too.
Right.
And there were no repercussions for her. You know, just a couple of years ago, a friend of mine spent 6 months in jail on a false accusation.
Jeez.
She finally recanted. He got out. She faced no repercussions. And he got no compensation for it. You know, it's just, so when people come out in a timely fashion with these allegations, I mean, like what happened with Brett Kavanaugh, which would be my question to the so-called conservatives around here, like Ed Sachs and Jennifer Beale, who are jumping all over this. Did you support Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court?
Right.
Because if you did, that means you want to wait until the facts come out. And you're not doing that with Bill Breaux. So you are exhibiting inconsistent behavior that would allude to something that's self-serving.
Right. No, absolutely. And it's the same game plan. If you research David Ellis and a guy by the name of Cunningham, who's a PR guy.
Oh, okay.
He has a blog too. Yeah. He got in trouble for saying racist remarks against Mexicans. That's why it kicked him out of him going to elected office. David Ellis placed the guy we got recalled, Andrew Hamilton, on the Costa Mesa Water District. And he, you know, they rig elections. But it's the same MO that they did to me, Bill Breaux, and they're trying to do to you as well.
Oh, yeah.
They try to look into – everybody has a messy divorce, right? They try to look into your paperwork just for you asking some questions. It's just a regular guy citizen,
yeah.
You know?
And actually, my divorce was pretty straightforward. We never went to court for it initially. You know, we did all the paperwork ourselves, filed it. You know, about a year, I don't know, 9 months later, we had a child support thing because the kids had stayed with me full time. And she wasn't paying child support. So, you know, that was the extent of it. It's not even an interesting divorce. It was traumatic for me at the time, but as a divorce, right. It's pretty uninteresting. So it's kind of pathetic that that's what they're reduced to. And the only real defense against this stuff is to be, you know, you can't be cowed and run away. You have to talk about it. So I'm fine talking about that. And, you know, this is what it is. Because you take their ammunition away. And you point out what they're doing. So then when they keep trying to do it, you can just point right back to them and go, see, I told you this a month ago, and now this is what they're doing.
Now, the good thing about this podcast, as far as the educational part of it, is that we can peel the layers and get down deep into something. So you, as being a businessman for so many years, I think I'm preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Where there's two things, all right? And that we can speak, that I'd like you to speak on, because I think you provide us with some great insight. Number one is that salesmen think short term and businessmen think long term. Higher level thinking is long term thinking.
Big picture.
What we're witnessing in these people, even a Fred Whitaker, right?
Yeah.
Is short term behavior that has really bad long-term consequences.
Yeah. And that's the thing that bothers me about what they're doing with the toll road, what they're doing with these rezones, what they're doing trying to shove in high-density housing. And with politicians in general, they usually are not thinking long-term or big picture, or they do for a little bit, and then they get into a myopic state. It wouldn't matter if 99% of the people said, no, we do not need the toll road going south. They've got it in their head that they do.
Right.
And frankly, I mean, just objectively, it doesn't make any sense. There's all sorts of things that you could do to test this stuff, like cut the toll rate, get people off the freeway now and see what it looks like. Make it free for a year. You're so far off your goals now, it's irrelevant.
Right.
You know, don't have lunches and golf matches and you'll be able to pay for it.
Right.
Put money into every chamber of commerce around here. Why?
Well, exactly.
There's 6 billion.
If you've gone to those meetings, I went to one with Lake Forest Rancher Santa Margarita. Those are not high level people there that you should be paying any kind of money towards.
Oh, exactly.
And then the other part of it is, as far as the long term, and it's a great book that was written. Common sense is not so common. So even in high school, we're taught that if you do not learn from history, you are doomed to repeat it, right? So you look at the history of Orange County, you look at Mickey Cohen, he's just as big as the five families in New York, and he's even linked to, you know, Gene Klein, who owned the San Diego Chargers, and Rosenblum, who owned the Rams, who sold to Kroenke, the current owner of the Rams. Then you go to Mike Corona, OC Sheriffs, who was convicted of multiple felonies, and his infrastructure is still there.
Sheriffs in a row. It was ridiculous.
The last one was the snitch scandal. And then, coincidentally enough, ironically enough, right, I was taught this at the Poynter Institute of Media Studies when I, you know, graduated from college, that the interest in journalism is, and always been interested, is the truth is stranger than fiction. So with all this going on with all the people you're talking about, all the people I'm talking about, Orange County in 1995 went into bankruptcy, right? They had to pay back $1 billion, and they paid $600 million in taxpayer money in interest. And the last payment was just made in June.
And now they are setting up the same scenario to do it again by hiding oversight, you know, giving themselves, you know, dark room signing authority over contracts up to, you know, nearly $250,000 with no oversight. They're not keeping their records. They don't want people looking.
No paper trail. Right.
And we're going to end up bankrupt again. We're spending, you know, the TCA is so far underwater, it's not even funny. Jeez. And, you know, with everything that they've done to make the tolls even harder, you know what they make a year on penalties? Like $22 million a year. Jeez. On penalties. So they had to hire so many customer service people. That's actually outsourced to another state. So we don't even get, you know, the jobs and the tax revenue in the state. They outsourced it someplace else.
Great patriotism, great loyalty. And that's another thing, right? And I think you could talk about it because I've had the same experiences in our council meetings. Is that, to be honest, it seems like these people are people like a lawyer that gets into it or failed people in private practice. And they get into this and kind of lack of intellect kind of gets involved. In basic civics, all right, we are representative democracy, not a kingdom, right? My parents came from Cuba, because in Cuba, you got to bow down to the dictator, Fidel Castro. In England, Donald Trump was the first president to bend the knee to royalty. No other president had ever done that. Because Americans, we do not do that. We do not bend a knee.
Right.
Okay. So at the city council meetings, these corrupt idiots, because I guess for me it's almost confession, they think they're running a kingdom. Like what you just said at the TCA, right, where they're hiding oversight. They're giving themselves illegal authority to cut $1 million checks.
Yeah.
They're violating basic civics of representative democracy. And people get confused. They think we're a pure democracy. I think – and this is one of the reasons I'm doing the podcast and getting as much information out there and encouraging people to do their own research, because I think we got to work hard. And unfortunately, it's up to us. If it's not you, then who, right?
Yeah.
I would hate to do. I want to focus on my business 100%. But if I don't do this, nobody else is. Get the word out there. But I think we should be as much of a democracy as possible. And then when you come to these places, read, do your research. Do a little bit of interviewing, but these people think they're in a kingdom. Well, it seems like your story that you just told me about what happened last night when you're doing public comments is these people think it's a kingdom.
Yeah. Like in your town, in my town, there is no official way for residents to get the city council to consider an item. They do not have it. The only way you can do it is you contact the city council, see if one of them will meet with you. You go have coffee or whatever, and you tell them your idea. And if they like you and they like your idea, they'll take it back to the city council, present it. And if the city council agrees, then, you know, it'll get agendized. But, you know, if it's a difficult subject, like, oh, say you want term limits or you know, whatever, they don't have to do crap. You know, I suggested using something like the White House. I think Obama started it with those petitions. If you hit 100,000 people, the White House had to say something about it. So right. you make it some percentage of the voting public, like 300 people from my city, your city,
right.
You know, because about half the city votes. And that would be over one, that'd be like 1.5%. And so if you put something up on change.org and you get 300 people to sign up, then the city council needs to consider it and they need to say something from the dais, you know, so they're on record.
Right.
But they don't want to do it.
It's crazy. It's crazy. They just want to focus on their corruption. And interesting, when I moved to Lake Forest in 2012, I met Dwight Robinson, who's still on the city council. He's also on the South Orange County Air Quality Board.
Okay.
And we were talking, and he was telling me how he's a Pentecostal, right? And my dad's a Pentecostal minister. And then later on in the conversation, which kind of triggered me to do more research, he said, you know something? That there's so much crime going on in Orange County that the sheriffs do not have time to investigate white-collar crime. And to me, that was strange coming from a guy who was just telling me how spiritual he was and invited me to his church talking about crime. I'm like, as a Christian, you do not commit crime because you want to get to heaven. But then, you know, then going on and on and on, looking at what you just said, and he's knee deep in the Republican Party and all that. Rakakis, when he was in that task force, and I could, if you haven't read it, I'm definitely sending you the link to that article.
Okay.
Where Rakakis was with a task force with the FBI, and they were investigating local politicians, and Rakakis's office was tipping off the local politicians. Like the mayor of Santa Ana, who got a house bought by developers. Our guy Scott Voice got a house bought by developers. And also Melissa Fox, who's on the Orange County, on the Irvine City Council, who's running for State Assembly 68, also got bought a house during that time. And they've all have 100% voting records for developers in our area. So I think that's key when you're talking about a Todd Spitzer who was on a TCA, who's the current DA. So you have the Fox in charge of the hen house. And it's selective prosecution.
Spitzer, because I think he actually, I saw a video of him on TCA sort of lambasting the rest of the board, like, why are we trying to keep people from talking? It looked like he was caught a bit off guard.
Right.
In terms of how corrupt things were getting. I mean,
right.
Lisa Bartlett had her contract signing authority taken away because she was abusing the ability to, you know, write like $20,000, $30,000 contracts without approval. And she was completely abusing it, and she had it taken away.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, no, Todd can go either way. I mean, he, in a restaurant, maybe about 10 minutes walking from my house, 2015, he beat up a guy. And, wrestled him to the ground. The guy was disabled. He had a whole lifetime to kind of fight it. But he seems to be fighting the corruption that Rakakis had on there. I just don't like the pictures he throws out there hugging the CEO of Five Points, who's rigging the Irvine City Council.
Well, yeah. I mean, that guy, you know, he needs to buy his influence. There's, there's approvals he needs to get and, you know, all this other stuff. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, Lord knows what that's going to end up being like. I mean, that whole great park, my God, this has been going on for 20 years. There isn't crap there.
Right.
They took out the golf course that I liked.
And they're going to build a bunch of houses there.
Probably. I mean, they could get, oh, shoot. How many houses could you get in there? 30,000?
Oh, geez. I mean,
it's a city.
Yeah, billions of dollars. All right, so we'll close with this. We've had a lot of great information here that we've given to the people so they can do their own research, because the long-term effects of corruption is that you pay higher prices. You're going to be paying more for your water bill, so on and so forth, the money that could go to your retirement. And then the bankruptcy situation that happened in Orange County, where a $1 billion bill cost the taxpayers $600 million in money that did not need to happen because of the corruption of going back to Mickey Cohen, to Mike Corona, to the last lady that was there. Now, to paint the picture, you're just being a regular guy. You're just watching this obvious corruption going on.
Alleged corruption.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, well, it goes into technicalities because I looked up racketeering, right?
Uh-huh.
So racketeering, the cases, the presidents, the State Farm paid a nonprofit money, and the nonprofit contributed to a judge's political campaign. And that judge was ruling on a class action case for State Farm. So that's the definition of racketeering. So the way the racketeering goes here, right, we could say it's legal racketeering. Toll Brothers, 5 points, gives money, and I've got all the documentation. It's on the 460s. They give money to the Lincoln Club, and the Lincoln Club gives money to city council members in Rancho Santa Margarita, all of South Orange County, Lake Forest, and so forth.
Right. Now, what
makes it illegal racketeering is a specific vote. Now, we have our roads and traffic's horrible here. My wife works maybe 5 miles, 4 miles away from our house. It takes her 15 minutes to get to work. There's so much traffic in Lake Forest. So we got 10,000 houses that have already been permitted. And our last greenbelt is a nursery, okay? So in the first recall, Andrew Hamilton, Toll Brothers paid $260,000 to the Andrew Hamilton no recall campaign. And we were able to beat him, being out spent 10 to 1. And of course, they write these articles about me and whatever. So what they want to do now, Toll Brothers, is take that last green belt, that nursery, and build 766 houses. And Toll Brothers only builds houses that they sell for over $1 million.
Holy hell.
So the Lincoln Club,
let's see.
Lincoln Club contributed over $100,000 to city council people in the last city council election. And they all have ties to the Republican Party and Whitaker. So what Whitaker gets paid for, David Ellis gets paid for, South Orange County Economic Council, they're all on the 460s of all the, what they get paid for is for these short-term thinking people to vote against the long-term interest of the people for their short-term gain, whatever, suitcase money they're getting below the table, and then campaign contributions that they use for money laundering.
This is what infuriates me, is these people, in the interest of the perpetuation of their own power and whatever pocket change that they're going to pick up, ruining South Orange County forever.
Right. The quality of life.
They're so selfish. Now, don't discount, if those houses get built, that's about $5 million to the TCA in developer funds.
Got it. Got it. Thank you for filling in that piece.
Yeah, that's what you got to look at. Whenever there's housing, if it's near where a road is or where they want to build it, they will get their $6,000 per unit developer fee.
Got it. No, that's great insight. That's why it's so important for us working guys to share information.
Yeah.
You can fill in, we can fill in the gaps in for each other. Okay. Now it ties in together.
Yeah. That was a missing piece for me because we have this rezone request for a shopping plaza here that everybody's trying to figure out, why does it seem like there are certain city council people that are for this? And then you realize, oh, that's $500,000 developer fee. And Councilman Beal is sitting on the city council that'll make the decision. And he got is Ann Figueroa elected the last time, so he'd have a third vote with Carol Campbell. And Tony sits on the board of the TCA, and the law office he works with does work with toll roads. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. But we've been talking for a long time, so we should probably wrap up.
Yeah, no, and just close with us, because I think it's important what happened to you last night at the city council meeting.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the point was, I went there to express the methodology whereby I think people could interact with the council better, like we were talking about earlier. And I made it clear to them that people are afraid of them. They are afraid something will happen to their business. If they have a business in town, they do not want to rock the boat by painting a target on their back by speaking up against the city council. And then I proceeded to list out all the things that have happened to me, and I was careful to not name names.
Right.
Because I was being courteous, right? I'm not going to sit there and say, you councilperson, you did this. And so I finished, and Tony Beal, of course, has to start going, well, is there any proof of this? Have there been charges filed? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, just like trying to get something on the docket, there's no official way to even file a complaint. And I had told the city manager about two instances. One as recently as 2 weeks ago, and she sat there, oh, well, yeah, there was a police report. It's like, yeah, and I emailed you after the police report with all the information, and I asked for you to confirm it. And then Councilwoman Gamble has to wrap up by going, oh, he's going to run for city council candidate. She's so vacuous and so petty and so small that it can't possibly be that somebody's running for city council for that whopping $500 a month salary because they want to do something right for the city and they think that you're wrong. So you're going to sit there on the dais and you're going to disparage and mock people who tried. They didn't go and get a bunch of institutional money and spend $10,000 on a campaign or $20,000 on a campaign. You know, I got 20% of the vote and I spent $250 on my campaign. That's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, because you're a businessman. Now, in Lake Forest, last campaign, they spent over $200,000 for a job that pays $9,000 a year.
Yeah, see, some ain't right.
The fish, right? The fish are rotten in Denmark.
Yeah, something just is not right.
Yeah.
Why are you trying so hard for that job?
It's and a you participating in democracy gets cheap-shotted up there by these people.
Yeah. And this is how Carol always tries to, I mean, it's a classic manipulation tactic. You know, you want to belittle or demean somebody to devalue the quality of the argument or statement that they're making, but you need to deflect something to diminish them.
Right.
And this is what she does with everybody. She's been doing it for years. I was reading back and stuff she was doing in elections 6 years ago, I think it was, 6-7 years ago. And she was doing the same damn thing, and she was flat out lying about it then. She ended up getting admonished by a grand jury in Orange County for misrepresenting the pension system in our city. And that was her big campaign thing, saying the other guy was lying about the pension. Well, he was sure as hell right. But this is how petty and small and awful she is. This is how she addresses it, by deflection and emasculation and belittling. It's ridiculous.
What a mess. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great podcast. The podcast, another tenet is I want it to have a long shelf life where people can use this as reference, and they could use it, not to take what we're saying as gospel, but use it as reference points so they can go out and do their own research.
That's what's key. People need to understand this information on their own, because otherwise they're like, oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Go look it up. You know, every article I write, I always try to make sure that I have links to references to the source material so people can go and read where I got it from. I use screenshots. I use links. I am not trying to hide anything. I want you to go and read this stuff so you have the same information that I do.
Right. And, another big thing in South Orange County is to go on the city's website and look at the 460 forms that shows the campaign contributions. You can follow the money and see how money influences decisions for the detriment of the long term. That's what we're seeing. All right.
Oh, yeah. So we got all sorts of no bid auto renew contracts with people that are putting thousands of dollars into the campaigns. In our city, you have to call the city clerk, set up an appointment, go to City Hall. They bring you the book of the 460s, and then you can sit there and review it in a room. If you want copies, you have to pay for copies. So, yeah, they do the minimum, absolute minimum necessary. Be nice if they are online.
Yeah, Lee Fortress is online, yeah.
Yeah, San Clemente, they were pushing for the TCA to have them all online, and that was something else that Tony Beal was fighting against. He didn't want them online.
That's crazy. That's another bit of information I didn't know. That's crazy. Yeah, so the 460s are not – oh, that's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, why does he care if they're online or not? He's like, you know, people can get them anytime. Well, only when the city hall is open. You know, what if I'm working in L.A. and, you know, there's never opportunity. I can't go on –
Your corruption has messed up traffic so much it doesn't make what you just said feasible.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Josh. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to sit here and talk with you, and hopefully we've educated some people.
No, absolutely. Thank you for the work you're doing. In the beginning, you said that what you do is you fix problems. You make people's lives better. That's how we get paid. And I always close with the worst British lit major, so I always close with Winston Churchill. You make a living from what you earn. You make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to I Love South Orange County Podcast.